It's 5:30. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Recording of members and guests present. There's a sign-in sheet here if you haven't signed in. And, yep. Review of operating norms. Focus on agenda topics. Be open-minded. Respect each other. Value different viewpoints. Be responsive and responsible to our community. Make decisions based on data and facts. And listen to each other. There's more chairs in the closet. Be reflective and run meetings that respect time, have concise agendas, and are transparent. Addition or deletion of agenda items and agenda approval. There's one addition to an agenda item. There's a thank you card for Catherine Lawrence, along with a gift certificate as a gift from Molly Beverage that's circulating for a signature. Is there any other addition or deletion of agenda items? Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
A second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have our agenda. First order of business is public comment. All meetings are meetings of the body, are conducted in the public. They are not meetings of the public. All meetings open to the public. Meetings of the body are a limited public forum. Members of the public will be afforded a reasonable opportunity to express their opinions about matters considered by the body. Public comment is open to all members of the public, not just residents of Paulett. No member of the public may speak longer than 2 minutes without consent of the presiding officer. Speakers will be taken on a first-come, first-served basis, though the presiding officer may suspend this rule to protect against repetitive or irrelevant comments and to ensure that varied, especially opposing viewpoints are heard. Speakers may be asked but not compelled to state their name and town of residence. Members of the public must be acknowledged by the presiding officer before speaking. Members of the public must wait their turn to speak and may not interrupt others. Public comment must be germane to an item on the agenda. A member of the public can only speak more than once on the same agenda item, time permitting, with the consent of the presiding officer, and only after every other member of the public has been given an opportunity to speak. Are there any public comments? Julie. Yes, if you are listening to this after the meeting, a lot of times the microphones don't pick up voices in the back. So we do have a microphone up here, and Julie's going to demonstrate how it's used.
Julie Mack, Paulett. I just wanted to come and just to speak to the general unease that has been happening. And at the most recent select board meeting, I made a public comment at that, and I feel compelled to make the same public comment here for all of the board members of the library and all of the public to hear. It's clear to me that our community is expecting something from this board, and I believe that what they are expecting is for the board to come together as a whole and realize how much closer they are than they think that they are. 11 and 1 is the example that I like to use. When you're at 11 and 1, if you look this way, you're very far apart. If you turn around, you're very close together. I recommended that this board reach out to someone to moderate a retreat or something of that effect so that you can come together and realize what your purpose is as a board, what your objectives is, what your obligation is to your community. And if you have that clear and outside of all other actionable business, I believe that you will find your at 11 in one. I truly do. I think it's the only path that you have forward, because the infighting and the drama that has persisted for months and months is detrimental to our community, and it absolutely needs to stop. I believe that your community has been very clear in asking for work to be done, policy and procedure in place, so that the new employees and old employees and all board members understand what your duties are, what your duties are not, and how you can work together to achieve a common set of goals. So I would like to make sure that that is something that you all are able to discuss with each other, and I recommend putting it on an agenda. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Are there other comments? Joanne? So people can hear, who are listening to it after.
First, I'd like to welcome Corey to the board. The second thing I'd like to do is I'd like to commend the board and the volunteers for the book sale. This is our main fundraiser. These people worked many hours, very often in the heat, and they put forth an excellent book sale and raised a lot of money for the library. Now, anyone who knows me, I'm very passionate about libraries. So I'm going to say now, as a suggestion, is that when you start to speak, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is something positive, because this community has heard nothing but negativity. We're at the point where not only in our community, but also in other states, they are watching these meetings and we have become a mockery. I think we have all lost the vision that the reason why we are here is to make the Paulette Library great and be welcoming to families, to adults, and seniors. And I don't see that happening. I'd like to commend the board from now moving forward on hiring a new librarian. I'm not saying I liked what happened before, but it is time to move on in a positive manner for this community. And if you get a librarian here who has some vision of where we can move forward, I think it would help settle a lot of the issues. When the board gets themselves all together and everybody starts to listen to one another, we can go back to having this community center, which was very positive for all of us. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you for your comment, Joanne. Are there other comments? Sue?
Sue Lepore Collin. I've been on the library board. I love this. Harley needs to tell me what to do because he controls everything. How's that?
Positive comments, sir.
I love this library.
Good.
Okay. But I gotta tell you, and here's the negative part, is that ever since Harley has been on this board and treated Lindsay the way he treated her when she was fired, everything has become disgusting and embarrassing. Lindsay was doing a beautiful job, and then he decided, because of Joni, wherever Joni is, because of Joni and because of Linda Welch and Linda, that they didn't like what, and Adele, that they did not like what, yeah, look at your watch, they didn't like the way that Lindsay was running the library because she was running it well. They wanted their own control. Harley wants control. Joni wants control for her friends with the homeschoolers. And then Adele just doesn't want to have anybody who's her boss. Okay, so that's when things started falling apart. So I think that Harley needs to resign. We need to put somebody else into his place. We need to get Lindsay back her job, and then this library can be run well like a library should be.
Thank you for your comments, Sue. Are there other comments? I'm closing the comment period. There'll be another period at the end of the meeting for a public comment. Approval of minutes. We have a series of minutes to approve. Is there a motion? We can do them one by one, or we can do the regular meetings as a group and the special meetings as a group. Does the board have a preference?
I think doing the grouping is great.
The 4th of June, the original that was sent out has been updated a while ago, and the 2nd of July, regular meetings. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the 4th of June and 2nd of July regular meetings?
I make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you. Discussion?
Can you remind me as to why we're having to reapprove the minutes?
We didn't approve them.
I mean, no, why are we doing this? Why are we doing an approval for them now?
We haven't had a meeting since, a regular meeting since.
June 4th?
June 4th has.
Oh, yeah, that's been since then. There was a correction that needed to be made during the July meeting, and so the corrections were made, and so we're approving the corrected meeting minutes now.
So did I miss, or am I forgetting, the corrections that were made? Did we get emails on those?
I sent it out in July, and I sent it out today as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you just say what they are?
It was about posting the policies and the wording of the motion to go into an executive session. It's not there. Those are the major things, and then there are some typos.
So the executive session was stated the way
yes.
It happened, and you found it.
I listened to it many times.
But it hadn't been recorded
yes.
properly.
Yes.
Does that answer your question?
It does, thank you.
Any other discussion on the regular meetings of June 4th and July 7th? All in favor of approving the minutes for June 4th, July 2nd?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Then we had a series of special meetings, 5th of July, 16th of July, 23rd of July, 30th of July, and 8th of August. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the special meetings? They were all distributed. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
I make a motion to approve those minutes.
Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you, Corey. Any discussion?
So these weren't approved in the next special meeting? Is that just they needed to be approved in a regular meeting? Is that?
Yes. Yeah. Other discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. That brings us up to date on minutes in one fell swoop. Thank you.
I have it's a quick question. It's not?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So where are the minutes for the hiring committee?
That would be the 27th of June, I believe, was a hiring committee special meeting, and those minutes were approved during the 2nd of July meeting. And then the rest were executive session.
So you just had one meeting of the hiring committee that was an open meeting?
It was an open meeting, yes.
And also July 5th.
I'm sorry?
July 5th was a full board meeting?
That was full, yeah.
That was the full, not the just the hiring committee, that was the interviews?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Secretary's report?
I don't have anything.
Keeping to your 1 minute, thank you. Treasurer's report, how is it going?
I'll take more of that minute. It's going. I don't have anything written. I'm sorry about that. I'm trying to catch up to where we are. I mentioned at the last meeting that I inherited a flash drive with some files on it, and I was told that was a backup, and that Julie had a backup as well at the town offices, and she does not have one. And I had asked where the originals were and hadn't gotten one, so then today, I think you emailed me right before this meeting with the original.
Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't see, I forgot to do that.
So I just want to clarify, that was the budget file presented, the one that was presented to the, and put into our annual, the town annual report. And then there was another one that was this year's, the 2024-2025. Is it the updated one as well?
They are both the same for the same fiscal year.
Okay.
One is in the format that the town, that Julie, that works for Julie.
Okay.
And the other was where I pulled the data from, which is in what was the format that's been used for years by Catherine Lawrence. And so the categories line up fairly well, but not completely 100%.
Okay.
Meaning that they just have a different title in the town report.
Okay, so at some point, and I will try to get them to align, I guess, so that there's not, you don't have to do back and forth work with that, is that?
I think when I submit it, it's during this crunch time, and I am thinking like, oh, why don't we just fix it? But it's not the right time. It's at that time, January, early January, it's not the right time to fix it. And so that, there's no major misalignment. It's Julie has nomenclature and we had nomenclature and it doesn't always line up.
Okay.
One more comment about the what's considered the backup drive. And maybe that may be a misleading term, meaning that you have a computer and you back stuff up to your flash drive and you call that your backup, but it's really a copy of everything.
Right, but where's the original file? What computer does that reside on, and or like which one should I be working with? So I have been working directly on the flash drive at a computer in the library. I'm not comfortable, and I've been told not to put it on my own personal computer, and I'm not actually comfortable just yet putting it on the library computer until I kind of understand how things work a little bit better. So I've been working directly on that flash drive on new files for best practices. We would need to have a backup, and then I talked to Deb at the town hall. She said that they recommend having an external hard drive backup as well to put at a different location than the one, you know, than the library. But
I see.
So that is an issue, and also then if for the transport of those files, if you could give them to me on a flash drive, that would be helpful. The ones I emailed? Yeah, because I again don't want to use my personal email for treasury files.
I see.
Anyway, I haven't had anything to work with to update the budget with current numbers or anything for July 1st, the new fiscal year. I did have some, I got some information from Julie as far as how we ended fiscal year 24, which was we were $937.50 lower on revenue than anticipated, and $473.82 higher on expenses than anticipated. So we have a net were, you know, were $1,411.32. That has to come, you know, out of the our balance. We'd have to draw from
our other,
yeah,
from another account.
Right.
I see.
Again, I haven't been able to look as a deep dive. I'd like to look at them electronically rather than just on paper. It's helpful to be able to sort and do all that. So, mm-hmm. But that's the fiscal year ending June 30th of this year.
Thank you. There's more. But that number is a very solid update. I appreciate you were able to tease that out of all the information.
Yeah. And then this, it might go to the book sale discussion, but the square, the book sale proceeds and all of that, that might go to that. I don't know.
I have a sheet, and but so you may have it. I did send it out, so you probably have that
I
sheet.
Just wanted to note, the Square money hasn't hit our account, our bank account. We believe that was because the bank account changed after the book sale last year.
Ah, right.
And did not get updated by either the treasurer or the director, who I don't know who would do that, but anyway. So I just wanted to update that.
I see.
So the money
so you
will
answered
come
one
to
of
the account.
Yes.
Because it's kind of in the ether at this point. I mean, it's on the Square. I did look at Square today, and it's on that. But
I see.
We haven't gotten it.
Well, you answered one question I had, which is I see it on Square. Now, how does it actually get to us?
That's
so
right.
It gets transferred to an account of record, and we haven't updated that record with
correctly.
Square.
Yes.
Okay. And does Square treat you as a... You're able to access Square?
I had that information, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I was able to access it in the binder from Adele.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Is there any more?
I think that was it. If it has questions, Molly.
Does it make sense to make a motion to authorize an external hard drive? In terms of authorizing the money for that?
I was wondering how that goes. Yes, I did have a question. I forgot to ask my question, which was how does that happen to get another flash drive or an external hard drive? Is that something that that we would just do at this in the meeting? I haven't looked at any prices for it or anything, so I'm not really sure. I don't think they're that much money.
I think that we need to do that in the meeting for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we need to talk about it and then make a decision to do it.
Right.
And then do it.
I was only hesitating because I have so many at home.
Oh.
And I could just wipe one and drop it.
I think, I mean, it would be good just to have something, just so it's new, I guess. And one of the things is failure of a hard drive sometimes. That's
I think
concern.
Whatever you do, too.
Right, yes. I guess looking for a motion to approve purchasing an external hard drive or two external hard drives. One flash drive and an external hard drive.
Two of the same hard drives, would that be okay?
Yes, I think you can.
And then
flash drive is
so you're looking for a hard
well the external hard drive I could take to the vault in the town hall
and
right.
Leave it there and update occasionally
yes
and your flash drive would be the last week or two yes okay and flash drive is very convenient. Is there a motion to approve purchase of a flash drive and an external hard drive?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion?
I don't have any discussion more.
I'm sorry, I didn't
catch it. Have any more discussion than that.
Oh, okay. Is there a second? Any discussion about it?
Public comment?
Sue?
There's a laptop that you could use that's a library's property somewhere in the building.
Oh, okay. That would be helpful. That would be very nice. It's been nice coming to the library, but it would be convenient.
I don't know where exactly it is. Maybe you know where it is.
Okay.
I do know where it is.
You know where it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Corey, can she use that and bring it home?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, and then we would still want the
external
hard drive for backup. Yeah. Okay, I will look for that.
All in favor of purchasing a hard drive and a flash drive?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
So then, would somebody purchase and get reimbursed? Is that what that is? Or does it come out of the credit card?
One possibility is to tell Adele what you want and where to get it.
Okay.
Or ask Adele to just find it and just give the specifications.
That's perfect.
Any other discussion for the treasurer? Yes, Gordon?
Well, what was the balance in that Square account that has not been transferred over? You happen to
have? We're going to have the proceeds of the bank account.
I do have it in my head.
I don't know if I have it right in this one. Oh, and well, this was going to go into the other discussion. I believe it's $2,493 from the Square proceeds from the book sale. The number that I saw on an email was $8, it went to 2501, so it was a little different, and I was going to ask about that, but.
Yeah, that's the number I have, is 2501.
And mine was $8 less than that.
I see.
So roughly $2,500.
Yes.
Roughly, I had $2,493.
Other questions for the treasurer report? Thank you, Corey.
Sure.
Director's report?
We had 370, this is from July, 377 people visit. Our Libby checkouts were 87. Canopy was 76 movies. Interlibrary loans, we received 27 books and we sent out 34. Our circulation for books checked out, DVDs, passes, children's books, was 448 items. And we got 9 new patrons signed up for cards. Our July events was yoga, was an average of 4 people on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Story time, we had the average of 7 kids and 4 adults. Bone Builders was average for the month of about 8 people per class. And Music Camp was 8 kids that ran for the week. 7 boys and 1 girl. And the Twain Town concert, we didn't have a very good turnout for that. There was a lot going on. That date, there was 2 weddings in the area, the bridge was closed. So I would highly recommend not to have another big event like that in July because of just, there's so much going on in that month. They were a good concert, it was an excellent concert, but it was just not a good turnout. So our August event, starting with that, is the Summer Reading Camp, which is the summer reading program that is every Saturday from
from 11 a.m. to noon. Our turnout has been very poor on that as well. We've advertised, we've boosted on Facebook, we've put it in papers, we've put out flyers. If you have any other marketing suggestions to get it out, we're hoping that maybe this Saturday it will be better. We understand there's vacations going on. We just don't know. And then this past Saturday, we had Vermont Humanities was here. Rebecca Roop, and she did Wolf Peaches and Poison Peas, and Madame Pompadour's Underwear, which is actually just talking about the history of common garden vegetables. And the turnout was terrible there too. So we had five attended, one of them was her husband. So, but you know, we try our best, and the events maybe just, I don't know what to do with the events for the winter, for the summer. I just think they really just fell to the wayside because of the bridge, because people are so busy and they just can't make it. We're low on the list to come to these events. They have other things they would rather be doing, I guess. I don't know.
Contrasted with our events in the winter and spring, which
were amazing. We're actually very amazing, yes. So
even with little people?
Yeah.
Just because I'm wondering about demographics.
Yes. Yeah.
Just wondering.
The homeschoolers, you know, we've had, they do come to a lot of the kids' events, but when they broke up for the summer, because they all have so much going on, they work and they do all kinds of other things. But they're all coming back probably October, November. So all the kids' programs will pick up tremendously then. So my theory is to just run programs more in the winter time, spring, fall, late fall. That way we're pulling the people that, with all the other things that are outside, like concerts in the park and, you know, chili cook-offs and whatever else is going on, that we'll get more of a turnout for attendance on events. Because I hate putting out money to pay for these events, like with Vermont Humanities, and nobody shows. And we do have to pay for them. Now, the next one that's coming up this Saturday is the Poetic Life, Writing Poetry Using Your Five Senses. The woman who's running this had received grant money, so this is a free event. We are not putting out any money for it other than some food. And that starts at 10 a.m. So that should be really interesting because you're going to be writing poetry using your five senses. Smell, taste. So it's going to be fun. I hope we get a good turnout. She's also advertising as well. So it should be fairly decent. I've got a few people signed up for it. So now, Karen Huerta, our story time, did resign since she now is the director librarian for Wells. So she's putting her energies there. But we do have another one. Gretchen Hamill will be doing story time starting in September. So she's going to do two Fridays so we could hit the homeschoolers. And then one Saturday a month, so we can get the other ones that don't come when homeschoolers. So we'll have like grandparents bringing their kids and parents who work. And that will start at 11 a.m. And I renewed the contract with RSVP for the Volunteer Center of Rutland so that the Bone Builders can continue using the space for another 3 years. Jean Ruber, Jean, can I get your help, please? He cleaned out all the weeds around the air conditioning units recently, so they look really nice and are running smoothly. And Vermont library is ending universal classes as of August 31st, and we'll be offering thank you, for all the public libraries. And so it's a better offering. So we are going to be eliminating that off our website and adding the new ones.
I don't know what that is, though.
Universal, it's just classes you can take online for, you can take up to 5 classes every 6 months. You can learn anything from accounting to any science, whatever you want to learn. And these classes are free. They're offered by the state of Vermont. Every library has them. So you just use your library card with the user number on the back and use the password. Password is the password. Unless you want to change it, then you have to call us. Because we do it through COHA.
Gotcha.
And we give everybody the same password. So I didn't know if you wanted to talk about the basket raffle now or if you wanted to wait, because I did see it was on the agenda.
Thank you for thinking something out about that.
Yes.
And it is on the agenda for a little bit later, and we'll come back to it.
Okay. And the Halloween parade is set for October 26th at 10:30 a.m. Just put it out there. I'm not really pulling any events in September because of what we've been going through in the last couple of months with our events. I thought we could all use a bit of a break from everything. So, but if somebody comes to me and says, hey, I want to do this program, I'm all over it. So, but to have Vermont Humanities or somebody else, like, we'll just wait. They're changing also Vermont Humanities. They're going more professional and kind of academic more so from what Rebecca talked about. So she might be getting out of it as well. So some of these programs might be leaving. So we'll see what the turnover is with them. But they have some good ones coming. They have a maple syrup one that would be a lot of fun to see. And just if anybody has any recommendations on how to get the word out and how we're boosting on Facebook, and that is working. I mean, we boosted for the book sale and we got like 2,300 people saw post outside of the norm of a newspaper or a flyer or word of mouth. So I decided to boost the summer reading program, and we've received 261 people have seen that post, and I'm hoping it gets, it's within a 50-mile radius, so it's not like it's going to Illinois or something like that. It's staying in our area. And then for the poetic, it's 320 people have seen the post. I tried to do a printout of it, but I couldn't. It wouldn't print out for me of what how boosting is what we've done for the month of July, and it's really doing very well. So it might be just another option of just paying the $6 a week or to boost these events. It's right on the credit card, so.
And you have the Halloween parade date.
Yes. So that's been, October 26th. It starts at 10:30. So, of course, we'll be at the fire department, and I've already got Halloween treats in my basket on Amazon. So, it's very well received. And I did get complaints last year of not going down the road and coming up. So I'm thinking, well, I'm going to make a notice, send them door to door, and let everybody know we're stopping by. But if I feel like if you're not outside, we're not going to be knocking on your door. We've got 30, 40 kids in a parade behind us. And, just stand outside and fill their little bags. So that's it. That's all I got.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, any questions for the director's report? Okay, committee reports, book sale committee, proceeds, decide and approve expenses. So what I had at the end, Julie provided the information for cash and checks, $10,153.06. The credit card, $24.93. For a total, $12,646, and let's not forget, 6 cents. So that is a very good result for the book sale. The information for discussion tonight at the board meeting, I haven't received, or rather, maybe it doesn't go to me, maybe it goes to Corey, but there'll be expenses for food for volunteers from, and the primary suppliers were Lauren and Joni. If there's anybody else that bought food for volunteers, please let Corey know. In years past, we've paid out the following. Last year, if I recall correctly, we paid Jed for the use of his barn all year, $400. And so these expenses are going to be up for board approval in a couple minutes. And also other suggestions and anybody overlooked. The Meadowee Community School, and I can't remember if we gave money to the Parent Teacher Association, but and also, if I recall correctly, $200. We certainly made use of their dumpsters. We made use of their facility quite a bit, and they were very cooperative, and we had no issues this year with any conflict with personnel. So $200 for that. A donation to the 4-H Club because they have a hard time getting, I'm expecting that they have a hard time getting funding for their various activities. This year they were awesome. They were fun. And they brought some serious trucks. So $100 is a suggestion. Donation to the 6th grade class who helped us clean up on Sunday, and were promised ice cream, but it turned out to be a dairy-free cleanup. And so a nominal donation, perhaps $50. I had suggested $100 to the custodial staff, Bill and Jim, who work and give us everything we asked for. Last year it was $200 each, but this year we moved the tables from the library. I was going to suggest $100, but I've heard a suggestion that said $150 for all the work that they do.
Can you clarify, is that each or?
Each.
Perfect, thanks.
So let me add this up. These numbers. Oh, does any number strike you as strike anyone as out of bounds?
I would consider raising the 4-H. They've been so helpful, and they show up consistently. So, you know, 200 doesn't seem out of bounds to me. But if that feels egregious or to anybody else, that's.
They threw me off the truck.
Yeah, I know, but you deserve to be thrown off the truck.
Okay, that adds up to $6,911.50 if we increase the 4-H Club to $200.
Have they? Are there numbers that you work off of historically for everybody, or?
I'm sorry, Corey?
Are there numbers that you work off historically for everybody? Like, are these all the same as last year?
The maintenance staff was lowered a little bit. I think the 4-H club is significantly higher than what we did last year. And the numbers that I recall but didn't have a way of looking up, 400 for Jed for the use of his barn, and I think that amount will help us demand to have air conditioning for next year. And Meadowee Community School, 200. I can't remember exactly last year, but I have to say, it's without them, we wouldn't have it.
You said the PTO, or that's different than the sixth grade class?
Yes, it is. Yeah, sixth grade classes. I believe the sixth grade class has a trip.
Yeah.
And so that's just a nominal amount towards their trip.
There's trash pickup at Jed's. The Casella bill at Jed's.
Yes, but that we pay that.
I know. That's part of paying Jed's Casella bill is part of the library sale. Yeah.
As far as library expenses.
Yes.
And I don't have a number. I think it's $17 a month or more.
It was probably more. They pick up twice a month.
Yes, for a few months.
For several months. So yes. It's probably, well, it's something worth looking up. It's a few hundred dollars.
Yes. So as far as our, because I was about to give a percentage, of the proceeds for these expenses, and I did forget the Casella bill.
I think we should also just recognize Chris Ross and his generosity on the day of delivering all the books in one.
Do you monetarily or just?
No. He was donating his time and effort, but I mean, it was something that should be recognized. Yeah. And public should be aware of.
I'm writing thank you cards, and he's on my list. Okay. So I will be reaching out for his address for that.
That was awesome because we had the threat of rain.
Right.
And that was an enclosed trip.
Had to have saved time, too.
Yeah, that's great.
We were out of Jed's at 17 minutes after 5.
Wow. That's
and amazing. We nominally started 5, but of course people actually came earlier.
Right.
But that went as smoothly. And another feature this year, there was a more of a community feeling, and people hung around after the books were placed in the school and on the back porch, and hung around having pizza and drinks, and that was very nice. So, yes, sorry, Barbara. Well, the books stay there all year. The books stay there all year. But the sorters are there September through it gets too cold, so sometime in October, and then starting in April when the ice is out of the trays. April through the book sale. Oh, it's certainly tied up in terms of doing something else with the barn.
So it's 6 months to put trash pickup to. So we're figuring that out, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so half the year.
Yes.
Okay.
So what I have here, just an estimate,
I guess my question is that for the sixth grade issue, is that it went down? Because I think it had been, or did I miss what you had said to the sixth grade? Oh, you didn't have an amount.
Yeah. So our total expenses, and I'm guesstimating on the Casella bill, but about 12% of the take is our expenses.
There are some expenses that I don't have with me that have been previously entered, right, into the budget. I think posters, I remember doing it for the warrant.
30.
So there might be, but I didn't have that.
An ad.
Yeah.
It was one.
I didn't
ad
have that at hand. So.
Four. So that was on this warrant you just.
Right, so that was on this last warrant was.
About 100. Yeah.
$115, I think.
Yeah. Thank you.
I start taking before that. Okay.
Thank you for that, because I completely forgot about that. Advertising?
Yeah.
And does that go on the credit card then?
It does.
So then it gets
it's
itemized out of the...
It's on the credit card. Yeah.
When it goes on the warrant, then that gets itemized that way. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that adds some non-trivial amount. So is there a motion, or is there... Well, let's do the motion. Is there a motion to approve these expenses? And let me review the expenses for the motion. $400 to Jed, $200 to the Meadowee Community School, $300 to the two members of the maintenance staff, $200 to the 4-H Club, and $50 donation to the sixth grade class for a total of $1,150. Am I missing anyone? Oh, nope. Sorry, that was a motion.
I was drinking.
Okay, sorry.
So we can't. So, do you want to start a new motion, or do you want us to make that motion? Because he asked if there was anything missing, and I thought the advertising.
Yeah.
So you can scratch that and make a new suggestion of a motion.
Okay.
If you wanted to itemize it, or you could just make a general motion to accept the.
$1,150.
Expenses, and then we can talk about the itemization of the night you want.
So,
correct?
So you're saying, can I just reflect that? You're saying that we should make a motion to accept the expenses as expected?
As listed here,
as listed,
so.
But do you have a general amount of advertising expense there, or is that like a to be filled in later?
Oh,
come up with an actual report for the sale. Yeah.
How much you want to phrase the motion?
Well, I think that it would just be to approve for these listed things to go on the next warrant.
Yeah.
And then I would include them in there. So I would find, I guess they probably are vendors already. Because 4-H was not new, right?
No.
Correct.
So they should all be in the system. So I would put them in on that on the next warrant. If this goes through.
Is there a motion to approve spending $1,150 on the listed people who helped significantly with the book sale?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Any more discussion? Community, did I forget anybody? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Any other discussion about the book sale?
I do have a question. The signage spells Meadowee the New York way, and the school is spelled with an A instead of an O. And somebody asked me why, if the book sale is at the Meadowee Community School, why it's not spelled the way the Meadowee Community School is spelled.
And I've made an effort to correct that to the A.
Yeah.
But I don't always catch it, and the signs were done a long time ago.
That was just asked, would that be the intention to change it?
I think when we decide, say Amazon goes out of business and people forget who they were.
We can make an effort.
That's a pretty easy fix.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And it's their hosting, and they go to a lot of
make a name.
it's inconvenient for the school. It seems kind of nice to reflect their name properly.
I see.
Yes, we'll make an effort. You see. Are you good with signage?
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We got this.
Oh, okay. Any other, thank you for that, Corey. Any other discussion about the book sale? We need new t-shirts and our cash boxes are inappropriate for our pricing. But I don't have estimates of what that would cost, so I will defer that.
T-shirts?
Mm-hmm.
For
volunteers.
Volunteers.
The volunteers all wear blue t-shirts, but we're down to the last couple, and they're never the size that the person wants. That concludes the book sale. It was successful this year. That's the takeaway, something positive there. Appointment of director. Yes, what? Yes.
Can you break up the bake sale?
I don't have an estimate of the, I do. It was in the area of $700.
Was it the book sale or the rare books?
No, I'm sorry.
The bake sale or the rare bake, books?
The bake sale.
Oh, because
was it progress? Was it possibly 400?
She was saying the rare.
She said bake sale and rare books.
I wanted to know what the breakout was for the bake sale, the rare books.
Oh, for all of them.
All the different parts of the book sale.
I just remember the bake sale.
Was it possibly $499.50?
For
the bake sale, $499.
No, it was more than that. The first day we turned in, it was like $625 or something.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. This was on the square. That was on sort of uncategorized item on the square. That's why I was trying to figure out what that was.
People were, I was given, at least my experience on the square, was I was giving them a price, and then they were giving me a
just
lot brownies. More money than
okay.
that.
Okay.
And also sometimes people would go and check out with cash and realize that they didn't have enough cash. So they would come
split
over
it.
They would come over with a number that the people had paid out from the cash side.
Oh, okay.
And then just would be like, I have $65 of sales.
I see.
And so there wasn't a way to categorize that.
That's what you were trying to explain. I didn't understand that. But yes, okay. And so there's no way to parse out the books, the bake sale stuff from.
Oh, the bake sale, Julie would roll in there and take it all. And vacuum it up, and we didn't have a chance to, this came from this checkout counter, this came from this checkout counter.
Next year, perhaps we can have a better
way. So is there no accounting at each checkout counter?
The square counter had its own accounting, but everything else was just considered cash. So it wasn't, perhaps in the future, if everybody has a square open, there's a way that you can do cash sales on square. And so we can have better reports, even if they're not actually running the square system. They could be running it as a running tally to keep accounting.
Mm-hmm.
Would be one way to, one proposal.
How many checkouts are there?
What's that?
How many checkouts are there?
So.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Wow.
The first day, the second day, it's there's not a back porch checkout. Any other discussion on the book sale?
Joanne.
Maybe next year you will use a system where you are figuring out how much money is coming from each section. I must admit the one negative thing I can say about the book sale was the collection of romantic paper books that were out in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm against romance, but I would say a good 75 or 80% of those books were in a deplorable condition. I really like to know how many were actually sold. Because as I say, they were pretty bad.
A lot of them went on Sunday. There was a lot of them went on Sunday to a woman from Rutland who works with senior centers and care homes came and bought up a lot of those paperback books mm-hmm. for distribution to her elderly clientele, elderly patients, I
well,
guess.
Well, that's terrible.
I mean,
but she was terrible because these people, maybe they're blind, that they can't.
She was.
Those books really.
She was excited about them.
She was excited.
She was excited about them because they are hungry for new material, and so I mean, I think that it was.
Joanne, is your objection the condition of the book or the type of book?
Oh no, not no. I'm mean, nothing against romance.
So it was the condition.
It was the condition of the books. They were making. Old, yellow, falling apart. They smell. They must have come out of somebody's disgusting mess. I'm sorry. But it seems to me maybe next year we can offer this woman from Rockland mm-hmm. and her seniors something that's better.
Thank you.
Yes, Jen?
The sales in the rear room were about $100, and I'd say two-thirds or three-quarters of the pocketbooks disappeared.
Two-thirds to three-quarters were sold?
Yeah, they're not running back in farm.
Oh. And then the other comment about that to go along is they are all the ones that were remaining are being thrown away.
Thank you.
Yes. And I have a note here to filter the pocketbooks better in terms of the condition.
The condition.
And I don't know if I can smell them. I'm not volunteering to smell them.
Oh, come on.
Thank you for that number for the rare book. Yeah. Okay. Sorry?
Well, I didn't catch the number.
$1,100 for the rare book room and two-thirds to three-quarters of the pocketbooks were sold. Okay. Then moving on to unfinished business. Appointment of director. I have the candidate has signed the contract document, and I would like to start by saying there were a couple of concerns. For one thing, we had the candidates reviewed by two external community members who both expressed concern about her slow startup. Being not the full 24 hours a week for the first year, but for this fiscal year, between 10 and 14 hours a week. And there was concern raised about that, and by the two, as well as the board. And the sense was that, the sense was a slow startup. There's, at the time we were making these decisions, there was concern about a lawsuit. And this works out to everyone's advantage. The other concern was, can we write a contract? And the other concern was, can we write a contract? And we solicited advice, well, we have advice from an attorney. One concern was we can't write a contract because we don't have consideration in the contract. And the answer was you do not have to actually pay her to have consideration for the contract. If you have the authority to employ her and you offer her employment and she accepts, that represents consideration.
Harley, that is not official. There's a disclaimer on that email that says that is not valid advice.
I see. This is the best information that we have, and I haven't heard any information to the counter. Statutes trump contracts. By statute, these are your decisions, and you cannot supersede that with a contract. It's pretty clear the board has the power to set the librarian's compensation. The board has the authority to hire, supervise, and if necessary, fire the director.
Can you elaborate on how that advice came to be? Who engaged that person?
So I engaged
with the approval of the, was it with the hiring committee or was it the board approval?
It wasn't with the, it wasn't with the board approval.
Because I came into it after the fact.
Mm-hmm. So talking to a lawyer is a good idea, period.
This specific information during our last meeting.
When?
Last week. When this issue came up.
What are you talking about?
I'm not surrendering the floor at this point.
Okay.
I will continue on for several points.
Okay.
To quote from case law, the fact that for the sake of administrative efficiency, the library and town have agreed to include the library for purposes of providing employment benefits such as workers' compensation and unemployment insurance does not mean that the library board has relinquished its statutory authority to manage the library and thus set the librarian's compensation. So all the indications I have are that we have the authority to write a contract for a new librarian.
Unofficial.
I will make the further point that our number one responsibility as a board, as was pointed out by a citizen earlier in the meeting, is to put in place a library director. We have been 9 months without a library director. The library board has otherwise agreed, unless the library board has otherwise agreed with the town, that the library director is hired and managed by the town, either in written agreement by both boards or in a town charter, the library board is the entity that hires and manages the director. These are opinions offered by what kind of attorney?
An employment attorney.
Employment
official
attorney.
She was working pro bono for the library.
Do you have
Sue
a letter
Edwards.
Of engagement?
Sue Edwards.
Do you have a letter of engagement?
I will get you a letter of engagement.
You do. We have,
but
there was one in place?
The only problem, I know this is
she's
getting out of order, but that is something that we should have discussed before you engaged Sue. It's something that we should have discussed when you were, and we should be able to read minutes from your meetings as a hiring committee, as a subcommittee. There should be minutes or actual recordings of all your correspondences. I mean, that's, maybe we find it there, but it's never been presented to us before we saw the document that you had engaged to Edwards, which is not a bad idea. It's just something that we should do collectively as a board. Those are the kind of things that I try to offer my presence here, is to try to get us to work collaboratively and appropriately, like according to the law. So I'm not disputing Harley, like some of the facts that you're reading, I'm not saying that they're false. I'm saying that it's the methodology that is what really matters. It really matters to gain the trust and to have us work together well, which we have been able to do and I want to continue to do. I appreciate like the sentiments of Julie Mack. I think that we could use more help from above. I think that there are resources out there for us that would really help. In fact, I spoke with somebody today who said from the VCLT that said that they could, if we asked them to and we all agreed upon it, they could help us figure out a way that we could work more efficiently together. And because this is what trips us up. It isn't about what we're trying to get done. I want a library director, I want to move forward, and I want to work really well together. And even if we have differences of opinion, which I'm prepared for as well, but we have to do it the right way.
So we have, the library has hired all the library directors since when.
Don't dispute that. That's not the point.
And
you also don't need
therefore,
to
the idea that way back in May, when we decided to go forward with hiring, the idea that we don't have the authority to write a contract was not on anyone's radar.
It wasn't done by the board. It was just done
We talked about policy and procedure back in May, and a lot of the things that you have in the contract are things that I would prefer to have in the personnel file. I think they're really good things that we should have. They're totally appropriate. They don't necessarily need to be in a contract form. They're not something that we wouldn't be guided by, but the contract doesn't have to be in a contract. It doesn't.
Can you speak to that, why your preference would be one way versus the other?
Well, the contract is so much more complex than any ordinary contract that I would see. I'm concerned that it'll put our town in more precarious, potentially exposes us to something in the future. I don't think it's necessary.
I disagree that I think it makes
sure, but this
it's safer for us. It's safer for the town. It's safer for the organization.
And so, therefore, if we had this conversation first, you would have said, I have a neighbor, I have a friend who's really good at employee law, I'd like to engage her, and then maybe she'd talk to us as a board, or we could all air our concerns, and she would answer them for us. And that would be a more appropriate way to do it, that we all felt a part of it and all felt heard.
Point of order.
Oh, okay.
Point of order is that we need to have an action on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
We have a motion, a second, and then discussion, and then this is appropriate for the discussion.
Okay.
Is there a motion to hire Christine Edwins for position of library director?
I make a motion.
That hasn't been done in open meeting.
Oh, okay. I see.
Is there a second? Okay, is there discussion among the board?
Are we here to discuss the contract or hiring?
The motion is to hire Christine Edwins. The physical result of that motion will be signing of the contract.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be the same.
Are we just discussing the contract at this point, Ben?
Well, that's the motion is to hire Christine.
Right, it's part
of it. I just am confused because we were talking about the contract and the ins and outs of the contract. Harley said we needed to have a motion on the table, but the motion is to hire somebody or not. But I don't know. I wasn't sure
okay.
if it was to.
Okay. Would you like to amend the contract? Amend the motion.
I didn't make it.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to.
To amend the, do you want to amend it to say, with the contract prepared by the Paulette Library Board of Trustees?
Yes, sure. I amend that.
Okay. So the motion now reads that a motion to hire Christine Edwins using the instrument of the contract that was developed by the board. And is there a second for the amended motion?
A second.
Who made the first? Did you make it, Jimmy?
I did.
Okay, now there's discussion.
Okay,
thank you for that, Corey.
So you said you could get a letter of engagement, but did you get one in advance of?
When I spoke to her, I asked her if she would be willing to give the advice pro bono.
Do you have a letter of engagement?
I don't have a specific letter of engagement because I made a phone call.
Right. So here is in the email that she sent out to us. Notice, attorney-client relationship. There is no attorney-client relationship absent a fee contract or an engagement letter.
Okay.
Unless you are a client, you may not rely upon the content of this email, and if you do, you do so at your own peril.
I hear what you're saying.
That's what she said.
The thing that she was advising is law. So what she sent in the email.
What she sent in the email was
this settled law. Hartford Board of Library Trustees versus Town of Hartford. Even though the content of her email falls underneath that disclaimer, the law that she was saying from 2002 was that library boards control absolutely the hiring process of the director, where and the town controls the purse strings. So even if you can, even if you disagree with the fact that there's a disclaimer on the rest of the email, the law itself that she sent was settled.
This is crazy. No,
so is, so is.
So just get Joni finished and then let Carl,
okay.
Finish.
So is Vermont VS 22 section 143, which says the same thing, that the it delineates the power between the library board and the town and who controls each portion of the library board is in charge of hiring. The town is in charge of the purse strings for a municipal library. So those two things are what she sent us. Even though there was correspondence around that, this was the main topics of what she sent. So I hear what you're saying.
When you talked to her, was
we're going to institute recognized by the chair. Because I have recognized by the chair in this discussion, so we don't have over speaking. But Corey, you started to speak. I'd like to defer to you.
Okay, I just feel extremely uncomfortable signing a contract that is not approved by a lawyer representing the board officially, and we can't have engaged, talk to somebody, and then backdate a letter of engagement. I don't think that lawyer would be very appreciative of that kind of agreement. I hope not. So that is my concern. I'm not here to debate all of those other things. I saw that advice. I saw the advice from the VLCT, which was for us to engage a lawyer specifically on the contract. I know that there is, you know, the select board, there was talk of engaging the select board as well, so that we, the three parties, could be come to an agreement. But like I say, I'm not comfortable signing a contract on behalf of the town of Paulett without having engaged a lawyer specifically regarding that contract.
Correction about a statement of fact. It is not on behalf of the town of Paulett. The library director is a library employee.
No, sorry.
So the statement that was put forward to the select board that you're paying her, she's your employee, is not true.
I misspoke. What I meant is that as a public body, we represent the townspeople of the town of Paulett, mm-hmm. and I'm not comfortable signing a contract. It seems disingenuous at best to sign a contract that has not been approved by an attorney engaged by us as a board. That is my problem. It's not who is being offered this letter or the contract. It's just that I don't feel comfortable doing that.
I see. Thank you. Other comments from the board?
Well, I'm not comfortable signing the contract either, but I want to say that does not preclude Christine from working at the library. It doesn't stop her from starting today. And so it's just a contract can be ratified and changed and it can still be looked over by a lawyer representing the board after.
I see. Other questions or comments on the board?
I would just like to state that in the event that a lawyer looks at the contract and says, that's good, you have a full, you know, unanimous board, I believe, going forward.
So just to clarify, you would like to hire a lawyer for $200 or $300 an hour to look over this contract when we have had an employment lawyer working for the community pro bono because she's a member of the community. So you'd rather spend $1,200 to $1,800. That was what was quoted by John Klesch to look over this, to mm-hmm. spend library funds and town funds mm-hmm. in order to go through this. You think that is just to clarify, you'd like to spend $1,800 as opposed to somebody that is working for the town or working for the community pro bono?
Does she know that you're representing her like that? That she's working for the library pro bono?
Yes, I asked her how to ask, and she said, I'm working for pro bono.
But that means no pay. That doesn't mean you don't have a letter of agreement.
Okay.
pro bono means that she's doing it for free.
So the artifact we have.
But Grace raised her hand.
You did?
Just to Lauren's point, I don't feel comfortable hiring someone without a contract.
Say it again, Grace.
I don't feel comfortable hiring someone without a contract.
Okay.
And I also don't feel
Go ahead.
I also don't feel comfortable hiring somebody without a contract. I feel like it's not a safe situation for the employee. It's not a safe situation for the library.
Not a safe situation for the town.
And it's not a safe situation. Go ahead.
And not a safe situation for the town. Will there be significant improvements to the contract? I don't think so. I think I have the artifact here. And it is a solid, simple contract.
Are you a lawyer, Harley?
Are you a lawyer?
You really
are? We've had
guys.
Mm-hmm. So
there's a disclaimer any other at the end of this.
I guess what I push back on I appreciate your opinions about not feeling comfortable hiring without a contract. And you know, the town has been through a lot. But I feel like if we put, again, I sound like a broken record, but if we put things in motion that we worked more unanimously and more effectively, I think that we wouldn't find, well, I think a lot of the reasons why we're here right now is not because there wasn't a contract. I don't think that that in and of itself is like the method, like the panacea for protecting us from what we've been through. That is just simply not my opinion. But I understand you want the security of a contract. And again, I'm going to reiterate that I'm not saying that you couldn't come up with a contract that we all agree with and would all sign. So it doesn't mean that we're going to like say no contract. I'm not saying no contract. I'm saying I'd like to do this unanimously. But I'm one person. So.
Any other discussion among the board? There's going to be some ground rules. Each person can speak once and speak for 2 minutes or less. Sue.
You'd want a contract that didn't have a disclaimer at the end in case at some point someone had a disagreement about it and then you get sued because you have a disclaimer at the end. You don't want to have a contract like that. And she's not employed by you. Right. You don't have an employment contract with the attorney or agreement with the attorney. The other thing is, I can't believe you're hiring somebody for 10 to 14 hours a week. So, you know, we need a librarian, but then you're only doing it for 10 to 14 hours a week. You're going through all of this for 10 to 14 hours a week with somebody who must live out of town. It doesn't make any sense at all. What was the other thing? Can't remember. Never mind. All done.
I'm going to interrupt public. Comment because one thing I was supposed to do, actually, it's actually listed in a statute. Hey, why this person? So I have not presented. Christine Edwins holds a Bachelor of Arts in Liberal Studies with a focus in art history from Southampton College of Long Island University, and a master's in library and information science from the Palmer School at Long Island University Post. She also obtained a postmaster's certificate in public library administration from the same university. After 10 years as a library director on Long Island for libraries both large and small, her family relocated to Southern Vermont, where she accepted a position as a library media specialist for the Courier Memorial School in Danby. She is excited to bring her education and experience to the Paulett Public Library and community of Paulett. So this person signed a contract for next year with the Courier Memorial School in Danby. However, based on talking to her references, based on her interview, her written answers to questions, her phone interview, her in-person interview, the feeling was taking a one-year hit on hours, 3 years from now, will be viewed as a positive thing that happened to the library. This person is qualified, and I believe this is the best path forward for the library.
And we had somebody who was more qualified than you fired, giving her no reason and no recourse. So, you know,
who worked 24 hours a week. Speak once. Is there anyone else that wants to make a public comment?
Harley, I have a question to clarify.
Yes.
At the beginning of this, the start of the whole entire thing, you said something that people had known about the 10 hours early on in this, and I was wondering who that was. Was that the hiring committee that mentioned issues with it?
The board knew.
No, you said, I thought it was outside of the board that you said.
Oh, we had two external reviewers.
That in the hiring committee. Okay.
Yeah.
Martha and Joanne.
Yeah.
Rhonda?
Just two comments. First, this has been such a messy situation that I would think that the board would want to undertake what I think is very basic due diligence and have legal review of the contract and have that be official. I'm a small business person. Any contract or subcontract that I sign, I have a lawyer review it. If it costs me $800, it protects my business. So I would think that the library would, given the debacle that you're enmeshed in, would want to undertake that basic overview. Anyone can Google and find case law that supports your position. It's a very different thing than to have a line-by-line review of a contract. So I think that I'm disturbed that that's not a no-brainer for the library board. I think it should be. I think it's just basic good practice. Second does that contract contain a commitment to escalate hours after a year?
Yes.
Okay.
Molly?
I just wanted to point out that if it's believed that the select board is the one that hires, then the former director wasn't hired correctly, nor was Mary Lou, nor was anyone else. So it does say in the bylaws, I believe, that the board hires, supervises, and can fire the director.
Nobody disputed that fact at all.
It was disputed at a select board meeting.
No, not a hire, fire, manner. You're wrong. So I watched the video again.
Jen?
Lawyers don't stand behind their work. That's why they have errors and omission insurance. They don't guarantee anything. The people, all the people that come to these meetings wearing I Stand With Lindsay buttons, have no interest in the success of the library. All they want to do is argue and delay for 9 months.
Totally
it could have been done 9 months ago if there wasn't so much interference. And if the people get along, you don't even need a contract.
Thank you for your comment. I do want to point out to keep civil, please. Joanne.
I guess Adele can answer this question. How many
hours this is comment period.
Oh, I just was trying to compare how many hours the library is open to number of hours that the new director would be performing. My concern is that my concern is that the library, new library director is going to be here sufficient hours in order to perform all the duties that is necessary. And can I express that I would hope that if she's in a school that perhaps during vacation time, perhaps additional hours could be put in?
I see. Thank you for your comment, Joanne. And the responsibility the job description of the library director is to ensure staffing of the library. And so she will work this out with existing staff and, if necessary, hire another staff person. Other questions? Barbara?
Can you just specify the members who are on the hiring committee?
The members of the hiring committee were Joni and myself.
And were there two outside?
And there were two outside reviewers. We had a whole process that we've laid out in a special meeting.
She asked who they were.
Joanne Van Meter.
Who were the two outside?
Joanne Van Meter.
Joanne and Martha?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Other questions? I'd like to call for a vote.
Question.
Oh, Tina?
So the person that you're planning to offer this position to is only going to work 10 to 14 hours a week instead of the average of 25 that was consistent for the previous director. Who's going to take over the duties that this new person can't handle because they're only going to be here for 10 hours, maybe 14 a week? And you just said something that caught my attention. Maybe they'll hire another person to work in the library. So does that mean that the funds for this 1 year, if it goes through, the funds to pay for the library director are going to be split between the 10 to 14 hour person, and the rest is going to pay for the supplemental person they may hire? And what happens to that person at the end of the year? Does the library get more money to keep that person on, or are they hired as a contract for just X number of months until the said new library director becomes 25 hours a week-ish? Like, I'm really confused on that. Like, who's paying for that potential extra person that you said? Maybe they'll hire someone, maybe they won't. But if they don't hire them, if there's a need for 25 hours a week for a library director, what is this person not going to be doing? And are we going to have to go through all this hiring stuff to find a qualified person to do it until this person is done with another contract? I just find after all of this time and all of these endless meetings that maybe this person is supremely qualified for the job. I wasn't involved in the hiring, and that's awesome. But now you're just kicking the can down the road another year until the person can actually do the job that the library needs. Or is it 3 years? I'm not sure. Do they have a contract with that school for 1 year or 3 years?
Three. No.
So then you're just kind of kicking the can down the road for 3 years until you can get until you can get a library director to be here for 25 hours a week. It just seems so complex. Were there no other people qualified to do this job?
Did you say 3 years?
No.
I said 3 years from now, we will look back and appreciate this decision.
Okay, I'm not
that
sure
it's a longer term point of view that I had. I'm not saying anyone else on the board had this idea.
So how?
Thank you.
How many years?
Anyone else?
How many years was
Eve?
Sue, it was one year.
Was it?
Okay.
So I had a question about, was it Sue Edwards?
Yes.
The pro bono attorney?
Yes.
Yes? And is it possible to get, even though she's doing this pro bono, is it possible to get an official letter of engagement from her so that it's official, so that it's...
Thank you for your comment. If you, the contract is a public document, and as
so
a public document, it is available.
That wasn't what she was asking. She's asking if the letter of engagement from Sue could be...
to make it binding and official so that everybody agrees, so you don't have that disclaimer at the bottom of the email to talk about.
Yeah.
Did she mention
the disclaimer people are talking about is not in the contract.
It's in the email from Sue Edwards.
Yes.
She gave advice on the contract.
Yes.
The
contract is a public document.
So I got it.
And yes?
I think the question is if we could get an official letter of engagement for Sue Edwards so that her her advice would perhaps be more.
So I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that the contract is a public document, and therefore a member of the public can request to see the contract.
Yeah, that's not what I was
saying.
That's my answer.
I hear what you're saying. I will find out.
Okay. All in favor of signing the contract?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Against?
Yes.
Motion passes. I need your signatures. Sue Edwards, if you would stand up. No?
No, it's Christine.
Christine. You called her Sue.
Yes. Who did we hear?
Christine.
Oh,
you're not
a lawyer.
Right.
Christine.
Hi.
Hi.
We
see you. Oh,
yeah. We will have a tea to introduce her to the community. This concludes that element of the meeting. Next topic on the agenda is open meeting law changes, barriers to compliance. I'm having trouble with Nina working out about putting material, I'm not sure if there's a cap on our website space, as well as a pretty simple request, although it wasn't a request I made, to have that complaint form updated to be our complaint form. That hasn't been done yet. As far as recording the meetings, we have that compliance. And we don't have any other compliance issues with the 2024 open meeting law changes, except for posting the recordings and posting the open meeting law and complaint form. Yes?
Can I speak to that? I was going to ask you to put this on the agenda, and then I saw you had. I would like to ask permission to be able to post the minutes, both written and audio, immediately, because I'm really frustrated with that not happening. I feel like it reflects poorly on me, even though at this point I can't do anything about it.
How might that happen?
I did ask Nina, and she said that she would be able to do it. So if it's agreed,
training?
Yeah.
Ah,
she'll
perfect.
Teach me how to do it.
That was my question.
And I will not take any responsibility for anything else on the website, but I would like to be able to do that.
People have opinions about not hiding things, but making it clear. I've heard from citizens that I couldn't find this, and I found it easy, but I remember the first time I saw the website, I was a little surprised. So,
and I did want to say thank you to Sue. I thought about it, but you had brought that up a couple meetings ago.
That would be a good possibility.
Good. Window washing, estimate received. Is it the town decision?
Are we still talking about the website updating logistics?
Grace just took care. I'm sorry.
That's what that was.
Well, no, it wasn't thought of before the meeting. I hadn't known that Grace was going to volunteer, but that takes care of the logistics.
I asked Nina about, there is now a section, a header section on open meeting law on our website, and I had asked her underneath that to post in a subsection the complaint form. The complaint form for a violation form. I'm not sure why that portion didn't get done. If it just
when did you ask her? I mean, I sent an email to Harley and
I sent it
weeks ago.
I sent after our last meeting last week when.
Did she respond to you?
She didn't respond to me. No.
But I meant more. And I understand that, and I know it's that website is really deficient. So that's what I wanted to talk about is that we really need. And I talked to Adele.
The word
website,
was deficient.
That website is deficient. I mean, that's really what the problem is. So the website needs to be overhauled.
There is there's something in the works, and it was waiting for a new director.
Yes, there's someone originally engaged by the previous director who is halfway through the funding, and the decisions he's asking for seem to be in the lane of a new director.
Right.
I have made contact with him, and he's just waiting to hear from us to continue the work.
However, I haven't recently put that on a to-do list to make sure it gets covered.
Yeah, we should put that to the top of the list for so many reasons, but also just to make Grace's job a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
But in comparison to other libraries, I mean, we're way behind.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me of that. And so that was the logistics, but actually the right way that topic should have been addressed is, okay, we need our new website, tell him to go.
Mm-hmm.
Window washing estimate received, is the town paying or are we paying?
Well, I think I was there when you had asked the select board about that months ago, and they really didn't take any responsibility. They didn't really. I think Nancy Molino cleans their windows. I think she said that, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, Nancy did it before over the town hall, but this would be cleaning. This would be cleaning, and not like painting the building or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So right.
Oh, I see. So it'd be considered like cleaning the library. So therefore, not the town.
Yeah, so it's ours.
Okay.
It's ours and ours alone.
Yeah.
I did finally get an estimate from Gino and his son, and they proposed, I think they said, let's see, window washing, the lower half of the large windows and the front entry, based on 30 hours, is $1,800. Now, I know when I talked to Alex, his son, that he said that they do other municipal buildings and that they have in the past, or maybe even they are now, will work, like they'll do partial to try to not have to be one large amount at once. They can do some and then like maybe a front 1 year. I don't even know how.
Right.
But I know that taking these storm windows down is a very big project, which is why Rusty was like, I can't do that. So I guess, you know, we can talk about where we want to find money in the budget, or we could talk about a special fundraiser. I mean, I don't know. I think it'd be really a good idea to get the windows cleaned. So, what do you guys think?
Thanks for getting that. Since it's that amount, I think, do we have to get, is it three quotes? Put it out for bid.
Because of our bylaws. Good point. So I hope I can find three providers.
Right. Well, if sure there's a way around that
if we can't, as long as
we do our diligence.
All right, so I'll do that. I'll reach to two other companies and try to get into other Do you?
Yeah, we just got ours done.
Oh, good. Can you give me the name now? Or?
Oh, I'll give them to you.
Terrific.
If it's the ones who did our windows, he said he's booking out next year already.
Oh, yeah.
But you could call.
I'm sure that's where everyone's going to be. Look how long it took to get this estimate. I think it took 4 months. So.
Wow.
They're busy. Look, so I'll get that from Ollie, and then I'll find a third.
Speaking of slow.
Yeah.
the septic person is coming tomorrow, Leon Corey.
Okay.
He's coming tomorrow, and he doesn't need library access. He just has the septic.
Clean the sensor?
He'll investigate what's wrong and do the cleaning, or tell us what it needs, or recommend somebody in the business.
Do you know what time?
No, he didn't commit to it.
Okay.
Yes. So under new business, may I suggest we, with the timing that Adele laid out for the raffle, may I suggest we table that until next month's meeting?
Sure.
Do you guys want to discuss?
I'm sorry, sir.
New board email addresses similar to select board. I think where I would start with this is ask Deb Hawkins, because every select board gets a select board email address, and then how is that handled? So I'll take that action.
I know that my husband set it up for the West Pollock Fire Department.
Yes.
And I can ask him also what that process was like.
I would like.
Can we discuss that at all?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's great. I mean, I think we've been talking about this also for a long time, so I'd really like to have a real plan by next month's meeting so that, I mean, I just think it'd be, I mean, we all probably would appreciate having a separate.
Predicated
email.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Does the fire department, they have their own domain?
They have, I think it's a Gmail.
Oh, it is Gmail.
So it's a West Pollock Fire Department, or WPFD, something like that. I'll ask him what he did.
And
we create our own Gmail accounts then?
Yeah.
Why couldn't we just do that? Why couldn't we just do that?
We could? Yeah. But I mean, I think that it would be nice if it was originated so that by the organization, so that if whenever somebody leaves the board, it doesn't bother them. It goes the library. So it's not like Lauren at, you know, like you're not setting it up yourself individually. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not very knowledgeable.
I know when we had discussed before, I think we had talked about doing a email address, like maybe using Gmail, that's like the, you know, library trustees or whatever. And then just like link that to our accounts individually, just so that we would all receive them. Wasn't that kind of the structure we had talked about before?
Can I report that back? So you're saying like we would have a board member one at paulatpublic.com, and then that would pop forward to your own Grace Larson. Is that what you're saying?
Or just one email account for the board. Like call it libraryboard@gmail.com. And then when whoever sent something to that, it would pop to all of us. Right.
I think it's individual. It's going to be individual addresses, I'm pretty sure. But there's on the select board ones, there's something at the bottom that says these are public records, for example. I'll ask Deb Hawkins how she did it. But I do, as far as discussing it further, gmail.com or a different domain?
Gmail's fine with me,
I didn't know.
There's a nominal fee with Gmail.
Sorry?
There is a fee associated. I think it's either a monthly or a yearly fee associated with having your own domain.
Okay.
And so that's meant to either check with Deb Hawkins, or I can check with with John in the West Pollock Fire Department and see what that is. I think it, $25 a year comes to mind, but that could be way off.
I see. It does have a ring to it, right?
Yeah.
But it depends on the price. Okay. Regular board meetings on a set schedule. One of the things we keep floating around, because of the select board meeting being on Tuesday nights versus so many of the other boards that meet regularly have it second Tuesday or, you know, first Monday or fourth Monday. Is there any appetite for making it the first Wednesday night for one thing, and then keeping it to the first, second, or third, or fourth Wednesday, or meet very infrequently and have it the fifth Wednesday?
I'm just, is there a reason, I know, so we did an organizational meeting in March where it was the first Tuesday of the month, so is there a reason why we're revisiting it now that I'm forgetting? Because we did have the one meeting this month, obviously, because it conflicted with the select board, but I prefer Tuesdays over Wednesdays. Wednesdays and Thursdays are not good for me, but that's just me. But I was wondering what the problem, if there was a problem with Tuesdays for anybody.
Oh, the problem with Tuesdays is the select board meets, and I felt like it shouldn't conflict with the select board meeting. That's all. That was totally in my head.
Excuse me. I'm sorry to interrupt, but may I, for a point of clarification?
Yes.
The College Historical Society meets on Wednesdays, so the first Wednesday of each month here in the library.
Yes.
Well, you might want to just check for those conflicts.
Yes. Thank you.
We'd be glad to show the space, but just
Right. But it sounds like Wednesdays are DOA. Yeah. Tuesday, does Tuesday work for people? And I will give up on attending the select board meetings.
Well, we have to,
during those conferences.
In the March organizational meeting, I believe you guys spelled out that it was the first Tuesday of the month, unless there was a conflict with the Pollitt select board, and then it was the second Tuesday of the month. So I feel like it's already answered.
Is that okay with people? Because it just felt like it was, 13th of August, here we are. And so it felt like it was hopping around, and I didn't know if people would prefer to have it more stable. But that is exactly how that motion went.
Right, yeah.
You have to stick with that, don't you?
I think, otherwise, yeah, I don't know. I think so.
Wasn't there concern about, for the treasurer, the fact that it would end up being these, 5 weeks, and then the warrants not being able to be signed on time and things, that was a concern that came up since the March meeting.
Okay.
And that is why I think it is more of a...
Why we were talking about that, right?
Yeah.
So, because the September meeting is the 10th, I guess. So... So Monday, but then there's...
That would take some organizational stuff on your part to try to get those companies to be compliant with our meetings.
Right, that and I don't have a list of bills, so I have to work backwards to find all that stuff, so...
But even if you do that and have it much more consistent, if you have a five-week, length of time you're missing a select board, whatever...
But the school board will miss a whole month of meetings. But I asked Julie about that, and she says that the super has the authority to pay the bills.
Yeah.
So I think we can work something out, because we are also, according to the bylaws, only required to have 8 meetings a year.
Right.
So there's going to there could possibly be missed months.
The timing.
I'm going to. Say that there's been no change, is what I'm hearing. Notification of open meeting law violations. We received an open meeting law violation. Have to find it. Sue Laporte, the text of the violation was the March 2023 library minutes for the organizational meeting do not show that there was any discussion or decision made regarding the designated posting of minutes or warning of meetings. Therefore, the library board was not compliant with the open meeting law when in November 2023 the board fired Lindsay Barnes, the library director.
did we get that?
We received it via email.
It was by email, but I did not write down the date.
No.
Oh, the date that I received it. So I looked up. An action may be brought under this section, the section being notification of open meeting law violation. An action may be brought under this section no later than 1 year after the meeting in which the alleged violation occurred or to which the alleged violation relates. And since this was received more than 1 year after March 2023, that is our answer to the complaint.
Where are you reading that?
Yes. 1 year statute of limitations, 1 VSA, section 314, parentheses C, end parentheses. Parliamentary procedure, Vice Roberts Rules of Order. I didn't do my homework on this. I would like to table this until the next meeting. Is there an objection?
I just am confused by it because it's my understanding that Roberts Rule of Order is just kind of a condensed version of the parliamentary procedure. Like they're not different. They're the same. They're not the same, but the Roberts Rules is just, it's what, I don't know, you could probably speak to it better, Corey, but I tried to look it online a little bit, and one comes from the other. One is born from the other, and it's really just an easier working document. But they're not contradictory. They're not contradictory.
Right.
So.
At all.
When I came onto the board, I looked up Robert's Rules of Order and also asked the select board, and there's a few versions for small boards, large boards. I mean, it's, you can tailor it, and some things were left up to the board's decision.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, I mean, the one book I saw, Robert's Rules of Order, was a tome.
But it was not bigger than the parliamentary procedure, was it?
I have never seen a book labeled parliamentary procedure.
Right, right.
And it sounds British, and they can go on.
Correct.
So I would like to table it.
Okay.
And do more homework.
I do think the point is that Robert's Rules of Order is a guide to parliamentary procedure. It's like a reference for people. So it's not following parliamentary procedure, if that was the
point. Right.
So by the bylaws saying that we follow parliamentary procedure, yes, Robert's Rules of Order still is parliamentary procedure. We're not out of bylaws.
I see.
Okay. Clarification.
Oh, thank you. Actually, I couldn't remember where this issue came from, but it's our bylaws.
John
say,
even found it in the bylaws.
Yeah, okay. May we table it, and we may end up not doing a thing.
Sure.
We have another opportunity for public comment. Public comment? Sue?
Yeah, I just wonder, does the new director know that her position could be in jeopardy because of a coming lawsuit? And the second thing is, at the select board meeting, I think it was January 16th, a motion was made to adjust the rate of pay for the library assistant to $20 an hour effective January 1st, 2024. With no retroactive pay, and to return to the previously established budgeted assistant rate when the library director is hired.
Thank you for that reminder.
So, does the new director, is she aware that her position could be, she left? Was she aware of that?
Yes, and when we laid out our process, we informed everyone of the situation who was applying for the job.
That there was a possibility of a lawsuit and she, the job could be shortened?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Barbara?
Do you have a tentative date when the new librarian is going to start? Or when you can do it?
14th of August.
14th of August?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Or no, comments.
No
comments.
No, not allowed to say a question. Comment. This new library is starting tomorrow. And I strongly feel that we are a welcoming community and that we want our library to succeed. And in helping her succeed, I think when we come in, well, we should make a point of coming in and welcoming her to the community. Everyone knows, I came in here from Long Island, and for the most part, most people I met were very welcoming, and we've been here a long time and made a lot of nice friends. But I know there's been controversy in the hiring and the firing, but I think we all need to give this woman a chance and help her make the library a good place again. And maybe we'll get more people coming in.
At the risk of favoritism, thank you very much for your comment. Other questions, comments? Reflection of operating norms. Focus on agenda topics. Be open-minded, respect each other, value different viewpoints, be responsive and responsible to our community. Make decisions based on data and facts, listen to each other, be reflective, run meetings that respect time, have concise agendas, and are transparent. Next regular meeting, I heard September 10th, and I actually hadn't looked it up, but that's, I think the select board meeting would be then September 3rd.
I think so.
Yeah, because they're the 20th of August, and September 3rd would make sense. So September 10th. And if anyone on the board, and community for that matter, has special topics to suggest for that agenda, please do let me know. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. 7:33.